Best Scoops is proudly produced by News Scoop.
Good day to you and welcome to Biz Scoops for business news, local and international. I'm Barry Murray. On today's show, South Africa will need trillions to transition to low-carbon, climate-resilient economy, and the National Department of Health has proposed funding options to establish the National Health Insurance. In international business news, Amazon Web Services will invest at least $5 billion in South Korea by 2031, and we focus on the International Commodity Summit 2025 taking place at the Cape Town International Convention Center from 17 to 20 November. An International Commodity Summit is one of the top mining, energy, and agriculture events in South Africa. It's a first of its kind, fully integrated multi-industry event, bringing together the entire resource value chain under one roof.
A look now at local business news.
South Africa will need 3.7 trillion rand over the next decade to transition to a low-carbon, climate-resilient economy. This is according to the country's updated climate plan submitted to the United Nations. The plan builds on the Just Energy Transition Partnership, adding a Climate Change Response Fund and a Just Adaptation and Resilience Investment Plan. South Africa's 10-year government bond yield has fallen to 8.9%. This is its lowest since the last year, signaling strong investor demand for the country's debt. Experts attribute the drop to renewed monetary credibility from the South African Reserve Bank, easing fiscal risks, improved Eskom operations, a stronger rand, and global conditions favoring emerging markets. Chris Hutting for the Center for Risk Analysis says lower yields reduce government borrowing costs and could benefit businesses and households. However, economic growth remains sluggish near 1% and structural reforms are still needed to ensure long-term stability and broader investment growth. And the National Department of Health has proposed several funding options to establish the National Health Insurance. The Health Minister, Aaron Motsoaledi, briefed Parliament's Appropriations Committee yesterday on funding sources for the NHI. He says the department proposed scrapping medical tax credits, redirecting subsidies to civil servants for medical aid, and introducing payroll taxes to launch the fund. Motsoaledi added that existing grants from the fiscus will be redirected to get the fund off the ground.
Time now to take a look at your international business news.
Amazon Web Services will invest at least $5 billion in South Korea by 2031 to build new artificial intelligence data centers. The announcement came after the company's CEO, Matt Garman, met with South Korean President Lee Jae-myung on the sidelines of the APEC summit. The presidential office says Amazon is one of the seven global firms pledging a total of $9 billion in investment over the next 5 years. President Lee says the move will help South Korea become one of the world's top three leaders in artificial intelligence. We're now joined by the chairman and CEO of the GMEX Group and Zero 13, Hiranda Misra. He is on the panel who will be discussing capital markets and commodities at the International Commodity Summit 2025, taking place from 17 to 20 November. Which types of capital markets fund exploration, production and acquisitions?
The capital markets that fund exploration, production and acquisition include a range of sources. So equity markets, equity capital, debt capital markets, which include bonds as well, which can be green bonds for green concessions. And then private equity, so private investment, and structured financial instruments like project finance and commodity-linked derivatives also play a part. And actually, a newer form of financing, given the interest for real-world assets on the digital asset side, also now where it's permitted, includes cryptocurrency-related investments on debt and equity as well.
What are futures, options, and swaps, and how can they hedge price volatility?
Yeah, so there's a range of different instruments to hedge price volatility. Futures are contracts to buy and sell an asset at a fixed price at a future date. They lock in prices, protecting against market swings. And then by contrast, options give the right, not obligation, to buy and sell at a set price. And they offer flexibility whilst limiting downside risk. The third type of instrument is swaps agreements, and that's to exchange cash flows, whether it's fixed cash flows versus floating interest rates or commodity prices. And they're really designed to stabilize costs over time. So these tools collectively help businesses and investors manage uncertainty by securing predictable pricing, reducing exposure and to market fluctuations, and ensuring that there's an effective hedging instrument.
What is the impact of global trends and geopolitical factors on capital markets in commodities?
This is a really interesting one because we've seen from the start of the year trade wars, US aid going away where countries were reliant on that. In some ways, it's a blessing and a curse because, you know, you've got a number of global trends reshaping commodity capital markets. Some of those include energy transition and ESG mandates. So capital shifting towards critical minerals, renewables, low carbon infrastructure, irrespective of US policy. And even the US has a big focus on critical minerals acquisition. You've also got traditional fossil fuel projects which are facing higher financing costs, but obviously they can use carbon credits and other decarbonization activities. And post-COVID, we've also seen kind of supply chain reconfiguration because supply chains weren't what they used to be, so they've had to be optimized. But you've seen the advent of technology with AI-driven logistics, Internet of Things, and other technologies coming in to help that flow of supply, meeting source-to-sale provenance from supply to demand. So digitization is a broader theme around this. And we're also now seeing, as a result, those financing gaps where, for example, on green finance, there's a multi-trillion dollar annual financing gap, according to the World Economic Forum. But that's starting to be plugged by additional sources of capital from the digital asset side that are also coming in and looking for real-world asset exposure, whether it's minerals at source, whether it's carbon credits, or whether it's gold and other types of commodities. So in summary, geopolitical factors will continue to drive volatility, but will also foster strategic realignment.
We continue our discussion on the summit. We asked the Chief Executive Officer of Rainbow Rare Earths, George Bennett, about the future of commodities. Rainbow Rare Earths focuses on the development of rare earth projects in South Africa and Brazil. Which commodities are becoming critical to humanity's survival, and can they run out?
I think rare earths are one of the key things top of that list, because all modern technology requires rare earth permanent magnets in some form or another. So we've got rare earths, we've got manganese, which is part of the electric vehicle revolution, lithium, copper, very important, and probably tin, which is also key for those modern tech applications that we see happening from solar, computers, and so forth. Can they run out? Yes, in theory, everything can run out, but as we've seen over the event of mankind, technology changes. So in 50 years' time, these modern technologies might require different minerals, and different sources for these different minerals will be found. And so I don't think in the next 50 years we will run out of those current minerals that I've mentioned.
Is asteroid mining and space travel a reality that will affect the commodity sectors in the near future at all?
I think space travel is a reality, but asteroid mining is a total will never happen, not in our lifetimes, not in many lifetimes. The cost of trying to establish something on an asteroid is, I don't know how many generations away, the practicality of that, and then the cost of mining so-called minerals on asteroids will be horrendous. It would never ever be economic. It would take too much time. It would be impossible, in my opinion.
Which commodities will be the highest in demand in the next 5 years?
It's along the lines of those earlier commodities, but I would add gold to that: gold, copper, rare earths, tin, and manganese and or lithium, I believe will still be in very high demand over the next 5 years.
Before we say goodbye, we conclude our three-week discussion with the Chief Executive Officer and founder of the company AgriFi, Desmond Irabo. AgriFi is part of the IAMEA group of farm industries and one of the sponsors for the International Commodity Summit 2025. Can you discuss the challenges and opportunities with the egg production industry, especially in the South African market?
Most challenges that we do face within the market is actually trying to gain access to markets, but we have always been doing our best to make sure that with the word of mouth that we've been able to spread the good word of what AgriFi stands for and what AgriFi is all about. And with that so far, we've been able to assess some certain markets within Cape Town.
Sustainability is a core value for AgriFi. What are some of the key sustainability practices your company follows?
We embed sustainability into every layer of our operations, from using energy efficient equipment and biodegradable packaging to source inputs locally and recycling farm waste. We also invest in capacity building for our staff and smallholder partners to ensure sustainable practices are upheld throughout our value chain. And at Agrify, sustainability isn't about checking the box, it's about our culture.
How do you see Agrify's role in supporting food accessibility and nutrition in local communities?
Our goal right from the first goal is to make nutritious, affordable food available to all, to everyone, to collaborate with community organizations such as schools and local retailers to maintain consistent supply, especially in underserved areas, by focusing on both urban and pre-urban regions, which we believe will help bridge the gap between production and consumption, ensuring that every household has access to healthy food options.
Finally, what is your vision for Agrify in the next 5 years? Are there plans to expand or diversify your product offerings?
In the next 5 years, we aim to acquire a larger farm, approximately 100 hectares, and expand our operations across multiple provinces. We plan to diversify into new areas such as poultry feed production, organic fertilizers, renewable energy, livestock farming, and value-added processed food. Beyond business growth, our focus remains on capacity development and job creation. We also envision at Agrify as a model for youth-driven agribusiness, inspiring young Africans to see farming not as a fallback, but as a pathway to innovation for wealth creation and social impact.
And that was the Chief Executive Officer and founder of the company Agrify, Desmond Irabor. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back next week with more business news, local and international, on Biz Scoops. I'm Barry Murray. Goodbye.
And this was another edition of Biz Scoops, proudly produced by News Scoop.